Mandalay, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes, or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Chalino ku, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Good afternoon. The headlines. Two admitted to hospital with bullet wounds after aggravated robbery in Mufulira. Zambia seeks global financial reforms to boost investment. And in global news, Israel's new 10-hour military pause in parts of Gaza begins to allow aid deliveries. With the 13 Hours main news bulletin on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. A 33-year-old Indian national and a 36-year-old Zambian have been admitted to Ronald Ross Hospital in Mufulira District on the Copper Belt with bullet wounds after being attacked by unknown criminals during an aggravated robbery last night. The victims, Pranavu Prapa, a manager at Butchers, and his driver, Macmillan Lindunda, were shot at Mr. Prapa's residence at plot M591 Ndeke along the Mufulira Ndola Road. According to Copper Belt Police Commissioner Petia Siandenge, Mr. Prapa sustained a bullet wound on his right shoulder and is in stable condition, while Mr. Lindunda suffered multiple bullet wounds and is in critical condition. Mr. Siandenge says the duo was attacked by unknown criminals armed with an unknown type of firearm, and they stole an undisclosed amount of company money. He explains that the incident happened after Mr. Prapa knocked off from work at around 21 hours, and as he was being driven home, noticed a vehicle following them, and upon entering the gate, a masked man with a pistol started shooting at him and his driver. Mr. Siandenge says police officers that visited the scene found 4 empty cartridges, 1 live ammunition, two empty cartridges, and a pistol in the vehicle, which had a broken window. Skeletal remains believed to be those of 14-year-old Jason Piri, who went missing between February and March this year, have been discovered in Zonitola village in Sinda district in the Eastern Province. Provincial Police Commissioner Robertson Mwemba has confirmed the incident, saying the remains were identified through a torn jean trousers matching the description of what the deceased was last seen wearing. Mr. Mwemba has explained that the now deceased went missing early this year, but that the matter was only reported recently by the boy's father, Delia Mwale, and brother, Moses Piri, after being pressured by their uncle, Charles Mwale, who had traveled from Lusaka upon learning of his missing nephew. He says yesterday, July the 27th, 2025, a report of the recovered remains, which included a skull, 2 hip bones, 4 ribs, and a piece of the spine bone, was made, and that police promptly visited the scene, verified the report, and collected the remains and handed to the family to bury and mark the grave for possible exhumation and pathology examination. Meanwhile, Mr. Mwemba says due to the strange behavior of the deceased's mother and brother, who in the first place concealed the fact that the deceased had gone missing and never reported the matter anywhere, they have been placed in police custody and may be charged for an appropriate offense, and also to protect them from the mob that descended on them on suspicion that they murdered the boy. President Hage Geingob has emphasized the need for significant reforms in the global financial system to address the disproportionately high capital costs faced by African nations. Speaking during a high-level meeting with Norwegian Minister of International Development, Asmund Aukrust, at State House this morning, President Geingob highlighted the potential benefits of such reforms, including deeper bilateral relations and increased investment opportunities. The head of state indicated that Zambia is interested in learning from Norway's experience in transparency, particularly in the oil, gas, and mining sectors. President Geingob has also appealed to the Norwegian government to reconsider returning the Norwegian embassy to Zambia, citing potential benefits for cooperation on various projects.
When Africa is functioning properly, it's developing, it's offering opportunities for its young population, education, jobs, business opportunities, there will be lesser motivation to migrate northwards into your countries. Migration is always there. It will always be there. But a manageable migration, one which is intentional, one which is beneficial. So I thought, Minister, it's important to touch it. So we'd like to work together again on those areas. The reform of the global financial system is important to us, where we in Zambia, we on the continent, pay a higher cost of capital than any other, even in the same similar businesses, same sectors. The profiling of the risk assessment is not good for us.
Meanwhile, Norway's Minister of International Development, Asmund Aukrust, emphasized the importance of private investment in sectors like renewable energy, financial inclusion, and agribusiness.
And therefore, we would like also to use this opportunity to discuss this, as we also did in Delhi. And I think maybe the two most important answers is more private investment and how to have more private investment and work on trade and investment combined with domestic resource mobilization. When we are able to do that, I mean, we can really do big things. If we both could have more private investments, create more jobs, and get more resources to the states, which again can go back to the people.
Deputy Secretary to Cabinet, Dr. Oliver Kalavo, has opened a high-level workshop in Osaka focused on the use of artificial intelligence, AI, in monitoring and reporting progress on Agenda 2063. The event, organized by the African Capacity Building Foundation and the African Union Commission, has brought together experts, policymakers, and representatives from AU member states to strengthen the continent's capacity to track its development goals. Speaking at the official opening in Osaka this morning, Dr. Kalavo emphasized that the second 10-year implementation phase of Agenda 2063 is a critical period that demands stronger coordination, robust data systems, and evidence-based decision-making. He acknowledged ongoing challenges such as fragmented data collection systems and continued reliance on manual processes, which limit effective tracking of progress. Dr. Kalavo described AI as more than just a technological tool, but a transformative force with the potential to revolutionize how data is collected, analyzed, and used for planning and accountability.
Agenda 2063 is Africa's blueprint for socio-economic transformation, which represents our shared commitment to building the Africa we want. The second 10-year implementation plan for the period 2020 to 2030 is a critical stage in our continent development journey, calling for stronger coordination, evidence-based and data-driven decision-making, and more robust monitoring mechanisms to track progress and enhance the attainment of the set objectives under each of the 7 months.
Meanwhile, African Union Commission Director Strategic Planning, Boto Bayendi, reaffirmed the AU's commitment to harnessing emerging technologies like AI to transform how member states track progress.
Let us reflect on the vision of a continent that wants to be integrated, prosperous and peaceful, driven by its own citizens and representing a dynamic force in the global arena. In the global arena, we are just geographically spread, and science and technology can bring us closer. In this vision, we also describe that we want a continent that is driven by its own citizens. The citizens that are over 60% youthful, and the youth have it as a natural competency to use science and technology better than the other generations.
In global news, Israel's second 10-hour pause in military activity begins in parts of Gaza to allow aid deliveries. The pause comes after aid agencies warned of mass starvation across Gaza, with the World Health Organization saying malnutrition had reached alarming levels. The UN welcomed the new aid measures, which it said included lifting customs barriers and on aid from Egypt and reported secure routes for convoys. The BBC now reports on this and other stories.
The UN's humanitarian chief, Tom Fletcher, has welcomed Israel's decision to allow more aid into Gaza, but said supplies so far are just a drop in